we're just going to take a quick minute here to look at God's Word. And I'm going to ask you to go ahead and turn your Bibles to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. And we're just going to look at a few verses here in Jonah. We're not going to spend a long time tonight. We're just going to be more devotional style here, but look at Jonah chapter 1. It says in Jonah chapter 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this opportunity we have to come to your house, this opportunity to share the ministry in China, Lord. I do pray that you would just continue to be with Westside, continue to help them to be a shining light here in this community, to grow and to glorify you and your name. Lord, I pray that you would be with our service tonight. Lord, I pray you'd be with this time that we spend looking at your word, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts. And Lord, I pray all this in your son's precious name. Amen. So we see here right away in Jonah chapter 1, we see here very quickly, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying." Now, wouldn't we all like to hear the word of the Lord come right out and tell us what he wants us to do, right? We like, okay, God, you want me to do this? All right, I know I'm going to do it. Maybe some of you know NFL people remember Reggie White. I don't know if you remember when he went from being in the college to go to the NFL. You know, all these people were trying to get him to play on their team, and he said, "Look, I'm only going to go where God wants me to go." So one of the Green Bay called him up and said, called to his answer machine and said, "This is God. God told you to go to Green Bay." You know, you guys know the rest of the story, but God hasn't done that. He probably hasn't called your answering machine and left a message saying, "I want you to do this." But Jonah couldn't say that. God sent a message, "Jonah, I want you to arise and go to Nineveh and preach against the wickedness in that city." So we have this thing. He knows what the will of God is for his life. And when God speaks, we need to listen. You know, because when God speaks, God does not speak with a voice of confusion. He doesn't come with some confusing message, some vague message. He's very crystal clear. If you hear somebody say, "I think God wants me to do something," you've got some problems there, because God makes it usually very clear to us. He doesn't come and say, "Oh, well, I might want you to do this, or I might want you to do that." I believe when God speaks to us, he makes it very clear. For me, in my life, I think it was not an audible voice, but God made it very clear to me, "I want you to be a missionary for me in China." Now, God might have a different plan for your life. It might not include missions at all, and that's okay. But God does have a plan for your life, just like he had a plan for Jonah's life. And when God speaks, he's very clear. We heard this morning about God coming to Noah. He was very clear in his message to Noah. God was very clear in his message to Abraham. God was very clear in his message to Samuel. When God speaks, he speaks clearly, not in a state of confusion. And when God spoke to Jonah, he spoke very clearly. He says, "I want you to arise and go to Nineveh." So not only does he speak without confusion, God doesn't speak in with contradiction. He doesn't come and give you a message and say, "Jonah, I want you to rise and go to Nineveh," and then come back and say, "Jonah, I changed my mind. Actually, I want you to go to Tarshish." He doesn't do that. As Jonah is going to quickly find out in this rest of this story, he doesn't do that in our life either. He doesn't say, "Look, I want you to go here," and then change his mind. God is not that way. When God speaks, he doesn't speak with confusion, and he doesn't speak with contradiction. He doesn't change his mind. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." He doesn't start changing his mind. He's not that kind of God. You might hear of other gods out there that are that kind of God, but our God is not. You know, was it last year or 2 years ago? I can't remember. Somebody out in California, and I forgot his name, said the Lord was coming back on this day. I'm sure you remember that, right? And he said he was going to be back. You know, any one of you could have called him and said, "Where did you get that message?" Because God says no man knows the hour. So where did he get that message from? Did God all of a sudden change his mind and start telling him this message? Obviously not. We know, obviously, that's a sign of a false prophet, somebody who's leading or misleading the people, because God does not change his mind. God is not a God of lies. He doesn't speak in lies. Numbers 23:19, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repeat. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" When God says something, he means it. And so God spoke to Jonah. He says, "Jonah, I want you to arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, because it's a wicked place." God has given us all a message. Now, I do not know what God's particular plan is for your life, but I know that God has given us a plan. God has said in His Word, go ye and preach the gospel. Go into this world and preach the gospel. And He wants you to do that where? He wants you to do that in your Jerusalem, in your Judea, in your Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. God has given each and every one of us a plan, and that's part of that plan. He wants us to go. So God has also made His message very clear to you in His Word. He's actually written it out for you. He came to Jonah and He spoke to Jonah, but He actually wrote it out for you. So you wouldn't forget it. He put it several times. He put it in Matthew. He put it in Mark. He put it in Acts. He didn't mess it up. He told you several times and repeated the message, I want you to go and to preach the gospel. That's what God has told us to do. Ephesians 5:17 says, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God has a plan, right? He knows what that plan is for your life. He knows what you, He's given that plan for you. You say, what is God's plan? I don't know what God's plan is for my life. Well, I can tell you several things that are God's plan. The first thing that's part of God's plan is salvation. God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, in that not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's part of His plan. Part of His plan for your life is salvation. God has provided a means of salvation for you. And He's presented that in His Word for you. So the first step for your life, of God's will for your life, is salvation. That much we know. Not only is salvation a part of your plan, submission is part of His plan for your life. We are to be submitting to His will. We look here, Jonah. Arise, go to Nineveh. Then we go to verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. Now, if you know anything about this, if you've looked any of this up before on a map, Tarshish and Nineveh are nowhere close to each other. They're opposite directions. God says, arise, go to Nineveh. Jonah says, great God, I'm going to arise and go to Tarshish. That's not what God's plan was for his life. But Jonah says, that's where I'm going. Because although God has a plan for my life, I am not interested in doing it. And there's a lot of people in this room that are probably not interested in doing God's will for their life. And maybe you're living in silent rebellion. Oh, you're coming to church on a regular basis, but you're not doing what God wants you to do. You're afraid to go to your neighbors and tell them the gospel. You're afraid to go to your family and tell them the gospel. You're afraid to go to your friends and tell them the gospel. You're afraid to be a Christian at work, of what it might, consequences it might cause. Jonah was afraid. God said, arise and go to Nineveh. It's a wicked place. God even tells him it's a wicked place. Our world is full of wickedness. Pastor made it very clear this morning that we are living in Noah's days again today. Wicked is continually upon the heart of the people. How sad it is when we come back to America every 4 years, and every 4 years it's getting worse and worse. We didn't watch television before we left, and I guarantee you we're not watching it now. It is not something I want my kid going into my kids' eyes. And even if you can find a show that you might be able to accept the content of the show, you definitely don't want them watching the commercials, let alone the halftime show from the Super Bowl. Pastor, we watch the Super Bowl in China. We don't watch a halftime show either. That's a time for morning nachos or whatever. I don't know. For us, it's early in the morning. We watch the Super Bowl on Monday morning. We don't have to worry about missing church. So, but we don't watch a halftime show either because we don't want that message coming to us. We don't watch the commercials either. We don't watch any of that stuff. We just watch the game. Sometimes that's not worth watching, but that's another story. But anyway, we don't watch those things, and I don't let my children watch television in China, and I don't let my children watch television here. We don't. We don't spend our time. We spend our time helping Grandpa out on the farm. There's lots of work to be done. If you guys want to come out and help, there's still cleanup to be done. But there's lots of things to be done, lots of other things that are useful for us other than watching television. You can ask my children. I don't let them just listen to any music they want to listen to either. Because I don't want that message going in their head. God gave Jonah a message. He says, I want you to do this. And he says, I don't want to do that. He says, I want to do something else with my life. I want to go to Tarshish. It's a bad city too, God. I'm still going to give him the gospel, God. And he doesn't say that. He doesn't necessarily tell us that. He just tells us he's going to Tarshish. But maybe that was what he was thinking in his mind. It's a pretty wicked city too, so I'm going to go there. But that's not what God's plan was. God had a plan for him, and he wasn't following it. And we need to make sure that we are making God's will for our life a priority in our life. and not just saying, okay, I'm going to do what I want to do. So he gets on a boat going the wrong direction to a different city than God chose him to go to. I can tell you from experience, when we're outside of God's will, it's not a fun place to be. Sad to say, I've done that before in my life. And I've paid the price for being outside of God's will for my life. And it's not a fun place, and Jonah finds it out very quickly. We see here the story as it continues on. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares from their ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So God sends a storm, a wake-up call to Jonah. Jonah, you're going the wrong way. Wake up. But Jonah doesn't care. He doesn't want to wake up. He's happy with the direction he's going. He's so happy he's sleeping in the bottom of the ship even though a storm is raging. He doesn't care what's going on. He doesn't care that he's put other people in jeopardy because he's not doing God's will. You know, do we realize that? When we don't do God's will, it causes pain and suffering for others around us. And oftentimes we forget that. We forget the pain and suffering that we're causing others because we're out of the will of God. And Jonah is causing these men, mariners, people who live on the sea. You thought Sandy was bad. I wouldn't have wanted to be in this storm. The finger of God coming in there and causing havoc, so much so that the men who live on the sea are afraid for their own life. All because one man was not doing God's will. We need to look at our own lives. Are we doing what God wants us to do? Because if we're not, there's a good possibility we're going to be hurting our family, we're going to be hurting our friends, and maybe innocent bystanders as well, because we're not doing what God wants us to do. And this is Jonah. He's hurting these people so much so that they're afraid for their life. They're throwing their own personal property overboard in order to help save their life and the life of this one who's running from God. We need to make following God's will a priority in our life. Say, again, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. Well, I told you already, salvation, that's part of God's will. Being Spirit-filled. Ephesians, we already read Ephesians 5, or I already quoted Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 15 through 18. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly. That means walk wisely. Walk in such a way that you walk carefully. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That's a message for us today. Redeeming the time. What we do should be redeeming the time. The time here is the time that we have that God has given us. Redeeming that time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine where is in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. What's the will of the Lord? That we be filled with the Spirit. That's part of the will of the Lord for our life. Salvation, being Spirit-filled, being sanctified, is part of God's will, being set apart, separated for God. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 5, for this is the will of God. Can't be any clearer than that. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. So God's will for your life is salvation. God's will for your life is being Spirit-filled. God's will for your life is sanctification. And we heard that this morning in Pastor's message. God's will for your life is submission, submitting to what he wants you to do. 1 Peter 2, 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto the governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For this is the will of God, that which well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Did you hear what the will of God was? To submit to your government, no matter who they are. I did not vote for the man, but I need to submit to the man. It doesn't make me happy, doesn't make me excited, but God's will for me is to be willing to listen to the authorities put in over me. And another part of God's will that we don't like to hear so much about, and that is suffering. That's also part of God's will. Salvation, being Spirit-filled, being sanctified, being submissive, and suffering. Again, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial which is to try you as some one strange thing happened unto you. Don't think it's crazy that something is going to happen to you, but rejoice in so much as we are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy if ye be reproached for the name of Christ. Happy are ye, for the Spirit of the glory of God resteth upon you. And on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. That's part of his will for your life. Salvation, being spirit-filled, being sanctified, being submissive, as well as suffering. It's part of his will. Jonah was running from God's will for his life. And when you run from God's will, it's not going to be a fun place. God's not going to make it comfortable. We need to make finding God's will for our life the passion of our life. Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and shall find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. We are to seek the Lord with all our heart. It needs to be our passion. Jonah did not make it his passion. He's running from God. The shipmaster comes to him and says to him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so, that be that God will think upon us, that we shall not perish. Then they said, every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for the cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And they said, then they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do unto thee? The sea may be calm unto us. For the sea was wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. But they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech you, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Jonah says, what do I do? Or the men come to Jonah and they say, what do I do? What do we do? You tell us you're running from God. He knows he's not following God's will. And what should he say to them? He should say, I'm not doing what God wants me to do. Turn this ship around and get us back to dry land so we can get there. That's what Jonah should have said that, but he didn't say that. He said, throw me overboard. I'm of no use to God anymore. I'm not doing what he wants. Just throw me overboard. This is the reason why you have problems. He should have told them to turn it around. You say, well, they did try to turn it around, but that wasn't, Jonah didn't tell them to do that. They tried that in their own strength. Whenever you try something in your own strength, it's not going to work. When you try to change God's will, that's not going to work. They tried to change God's will because God had a plan for Jonah. But Jonah should have said, I believe if Jonah had said, look, turn the ship around, it might have been a different story. But they didn't. He didn't say that. He said, I'm not doing what God wants me to do. I'm of no use to him. I might as well just die. Throw me overboard. And sometimes when we get to that point where we're not doing God's will and we see that the havoc it's causing around us, instead of saying, okay, I need to get back on track and do what God wants me to do, we just give up. That's what Jonah did here. He just gave up. He said, I don't care. I'm not doing what God wants me to do. Just let me end my life. It's over. God can't use me. Starts throwing himself a little pity party maybe. And so he says, just get rid of me. Maybe God will have mercy on your soul. That's his attitude. And you know, we have the same attitude sometimes. We're supposed to be doing what God wants us to do. We know what we're supposed to be doing, and we're not doing it. And when God sends some trial into our life, some temptation, problems in our life, we say, I blew it. I'm not doing what God wants me to do. And we just give up. We crawl back in a little hole and hide ourselves away. And that's what Jonah does. But praise the Lord, he's a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances for some of us. You know, he just keeps giving us opportunity. So the men take him and they throw him overboard. And it says, and so they took up Jonah and they cast him forth into the sea, and it ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. And the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah says, I give up. I don't know. I can't do what the Lord wants me to do. And they throw him overboard. And you know what happens? God calms the sea immediately. even though Jonah is not doing what God wants him to do, he's running from God, he's not doing the will of God, God still uses it for his glory. And those men recognize the God of heaven. And he does that sometimes with us too. Even though we're not doing what we're supposed to do, God can still use it for his glory. It might not be the way we want to write the story, but God will get the glory. You can be assured of that. And God gets the glory in this case. And these men are changed. And I'm sure they went back and told everyone in their fishing village the story that they had. But God wasn't knowing Jonah yet either. And so he brings this great fish and he swallows up Jonah, takes him on the first submarine ride, gets him back going in the same direction, the direction he needs to go. Oh, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't a submarine ride like we have today. It was a pretty smelly place. Only thing to eat, caviar. You know, but not the caviar you want to eat. It's just nasty. He's in the belly of a fish. And then he's going to be vomited on dry land. Because God has a plan for his life. But Jonah is going to go through some really stinky times to get to God's plan. He's not going to come through unscathed. I can't imagine living 3 days in stomach acid is going to not hurt a little bit. And so Jonah comes and God has the fish spit him out on dry land, and then he decides to finally do, reluctantly, he's still reluctant to do God's will. So we look at this story and we say, what are we to learn? God gives us these things for examples, as Paul tells us in Corinthians. God's word is not here. Jonah's story is not here for us not to look at. Jonah's story is here because there's a lot of us that are not doing God's will. And God tells you, this is the consequences for not doing my will. People are going to be hurt, and you're going to go through some really smelly times. And you're going to come through it, maybe, but it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be a beauty spa, that's for sure. And you're going to come out stinking, smelling like rotting flesh. But God's will be done. So the question for you is, what are you doing? God has made clear his will for you. If nothing else, he's made clear that he wants you to be saved, that he wants you to be spirit-filled, that he wants you to be sanctified, that he wants you to be submissive, and that he wants you to go through some suffering sometimes. And the question is, where are you in that process? Have you accepted Christ? If you have accepted Christ, are you allowing the Spirit to lead, guide, and direct in your life? Are you allowing him to sanctify you? Paul says that is our reasonable service. To be a living sacrifice is our reasonable service. Are you doing that? Are you submitting to others, but most importantly to God? Because if not, you are going to suffer. Even if you are, you might suffer. But if not, you're going to suffer for the wrong reasons. For your stubbornness. Jonah suffered. Over and over again through this story, he suffers. And we don't have time to go through the whole thing. But the question is, what is God going to have to use in your life? A storm? A fish? Physical ailment? Financial crisis? Obama? I don't know. What is God going to have to use in your life to make you wake up and say, okay, I need to do God's will? I don't know what he's going to use. But I know from his word that he has a will for your life and he expects you to be doing it. I believe for my family that will is to be in China, serving him. That might mean some suffering along the way. It's definitely going to be some sanctifying along the way. And it's going to be a whole lot of submission as well. But we say we're going to do that. And we're going to live towards that end. And I ask that you pray with us that it's not easy. Doing God's will is not always the easiest thing. You know, sometimes God's will, it causes, there's problems with, you know, with what he asks us to do. You know, you look at stories, you know, he asks the disciples, get in the ship, go to the other side. They get in the ship, they start going the other side, and a storm comes. He knew that storm was coming. Sometimes his will for you is going to go right through a storm. But that's where we need to be. We need to be doing God's will. And I trust that you are doing God's will or striving to do God's will. in the best way you can tonight. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the story of Jonah. Even though it's a hard one to read, I think many of us, if we're willing to be honest, could see ourselves in the same way. If you called us to go to Iraq, the same place Jonah went to be a missionary, I don't think there'd be a lot of people signing up. But Lord, we need to be obedient. Go where you would have us to go. Do what you would have us to do. Lord, I pray that you would just constantly work in my own life. Help me to be submissive to your will. Help me to be spirit-filled. Help me to be sanctified so that I can glorify you. Lord, I pray you be with Westside Baptist Church for the members of this congregation, that you would help them to be spirit-filled and sanctified and submissive as well. No matter what is happening in their life, Lord, may they honor and glorify you. We pray this all in your Son's precious name. Amen.